Amen. Lord Jesus, we praise you for this conference. It is such a privilege to be here. We waited for a long time to have this feast together with you all, Lord Jesus. It is such an enjoyment to stand with the saints in oneness and to enjoy the river of water of life. Where will you find that on this earth? We have received so much of fullness, and look, we only have passed 4 meetings, and so much the Lord has prepared for us. And we want to come here to some more aspects in Revelation 22. We have the water, the river of water of life, proceeding from the throne of God. And I was touched yesterday evening, when the Lord does something, there is an plan. This stream, this river flows with a purpose. It's not only flowing somewhere without goal, but the Lord chose himself as life because he has a purpose. He wants to do something on this earth. And therefore, he needs us. It is so good to see where it comes from, but let us look where this river goes to. And the meeting's title today is Serving Him as Priests. Yeah, you find it here in verse 3. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. The life is so clear, so fresh, and here we read, his bond slaves will serve him. What is my reaction to these verses? Look, it's even the last chapter. And here he says, his bond servants will serve him. This is something we're looking forward to. We're heading towards in eternity. His servants will serve him. His bond servants. Last conference we heard, we shall reign. And some saints said, well, that's actually not in my attitude. It's not actually my goal to reign, to rule. And maybe there might be some of us who say, well, I don't actually want to serve. We have this intention tonight. Serving is nothing separated from what we heard from before. It's not a second aspect. No, his bond servants will serve him. It's according, and it's in his life. It is his life. It's a part of his life. It's nothing we produce. It's nothing we should perform in our own strength. No. How can we serve him as bond servants through his life? Just beginning, why do we say priestly? Well, we read this verse in Revelation 1. What he had done. verse 5 in Revelation 1, grace be to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us and from washed us from our sins in his own blood. Hallelujah. He has loved us and has redeemed us from our sins in his own blood. He has made this path free. He has made us kings and priests. That was one step, right? When he redeemed us, in the same moment, he made us to be a kingdom priest to his God and Father. It's nothing which is added at some point in your Christian life. It's not an extra module which you can book on top. No, when the Lord has redeemed us with his blood, at the same time, he has made us a kingdom. It's one single step, becoming a priest. We read from the Hebrews before, when the Lord called out from Egypt, he called them and told Pharaoh, I want to have my people that they might serve me. That the Lord has done that. It's wonderful that he's writing here, he has made us to be a kingdom, priests. That means we weren't that before. If you look into the Old Testament, it was specific for one tribe. That I am not part of that tribe of Levi. But he has made us priests. That is very good. That nobody can think of that it is in his own natural life. No, he has made us priests. We can read also in chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. Let us read that together. Also as a remembrance. Revelation 5, 9 and 10. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Amen. Praise the Lord. He has purchased and he has made. Praise the Lord. We have been made priests. It's so wonderful that he had looked for a priesthood. Yes, today the focus is on the single priest, but tomorrow we will have fellowship on the priesthood. Every single brother and sister among us is freed and saved to come forward. The Lord has made this path free. That is Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. We have a great high priest who have passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Verse 14 and 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things, as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When the Lord had purchased us, through his death has done everything that today we might draw near with freedom. This morning we heard that the access to the tree of life had been cut off, but after the fall of sin. But we appreciate already this morning the Lord never gave up. When he died at the cross, he liberated that access again. This veil were torn from above to down. He has taken away all the sin, the flesh, the old men, even the old covenant, he has put away that we can draw near to the throne of grace. Yesterday we read this verse that the repentance towards life was given to us. Praise the Lord, this access to life is free. There is a new access. We have this access in one spirit to the Father. And John 14, verse 6, this is nobody else than the Lord Jesus himself. He is the way. John 14, verse 6, let us read that together and eat that together. Amen. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. I am the way, the truth. We can tell the Lord, Lord, you are my way to the Father. I come to the Father through you. Lord, you have put away all frustration, all obstacles. I can apply your blood. There's nothing which frustrates me to come near to you. Nobody can close up this way again. The Father loves people who come forward to him. And there's a wonderful verse. There are many wonderful verses. Luke chapter 1, verses 71 and through 75 shows what the Lord has done. If you look into the Old Testament, we don't have the time today to go into the depth, but the priesthood which the Lord wanted to have was really before the Lord. The high priest could only come in once a year, stand before the Lord. But in the New Testament, he has freed this path, liberated the access for everybody who has received his salvation. The way is free. And Zacharias in Luke 1, he promised that. Let us read that together. Luke 1, 71 through 75. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Yes, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. The Lord has given us something. We can take hold of it, lay hold of it. We can lay hold of it. Amen. The Lord has put away with all our enemies. We can serve Him without fear. Maybe if you hear this word priesthood, you think, ooh, what can that be? What have I heard already? But our living God wants us to serve without fear. He has put off the fear. The Lord has put off everything which frustrates. We can serve Him all our days, before Him, all our days. How? Because we have a life living all our lives, all our days. Amen. We stand before Him. Also in Revelation, we see that it's a standing before the throne, right? These bondservants, verse 3, the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His bondservants will serve Him. They serve before His throne. We read, we come to the throne of grace. We come to the same throne, the throne of God of the Lamb, and we serve Him. That is such a privilege, standing before His throne. Lord Jesus, what do you do before His throne? What can you do there? When the king is on the throne, you don't dare not do a lot. It is good to have your eyes fixed on this king. I would have my eyes fixed on the king, ears fixed on the king. We think, oh yeah, we are priests, we are servants of the Lord, and then we do something. And the Lord observes us on the throne. And then the Lord asks me, hey, what are you doing here? I am so much impressed. It says here, serve Him, they will see His face. Look into His eyes. Look into His face. Behold His face. This part, if you look only on His face, there's even less distraction. You just behold the Lord. And not just behold the Lord in general, but look into His eyes. Look to His mouth. We heard yesterday, we live from every single word coming out of His mouth. Take care on His mouth, take care on His eyes. Yes, we have beheld Him already, and we have seen already His glory. It is wonderful to behold Him and to look into His face. This ministry was already read in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 7. And then from verse 16, it says, whenever a person or the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And then in verse 18, it says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to the glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Such a joy to behold His glory with unveiled faces. Beholding as in a mirror. A priest is somebody who sees the beauty. like the psalmist saying, I want to stay in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauties. And at this river of water of life, you see his beauty. You see his freshness. When we had dinner, we had this wonderful verse in Acts 3, verse 19. I just want to read it quickly. He says, therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. From him comes life. From him proceeds life. As a priest, it's wonderful to be so near to his life. Look at him, behold him very straight. If you look somebody into his eyes, behold him, then you have a very intimate relation. We have such a relationship with our living God all the days of our life. The priesthood is not concentrated on what we have to do, but it starts with this intimate relationship, with his word, with a tree of life. There was such an intimacy, and there was a distinction of what is life and what is not life. John says in 1 John 1, we have seen, right? What we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the words of life, John 1:1. This beholding makes something with us. It transforms us. There is this verse in James saying there is a man beholding something but turning away, and there's no reaction. But it's wonderful having a reaction in us. The Spirit reacts. We behold the glory of the Lord, and we are transformed from the Lord's Spirit. The Lord reacts in me. If I behold him, there is something transformed by the Spirit in my life. The Lord and the Spirit turns. He transforms and he turns. The reaction of the Spirit is something which we can look on. I will turn myself, and the Lord says, Amen. And we might have new light about the Lord, and this is a wonderful reaction. This reaction of the Spirit is often and Amen, Lord, I have beheld you, and you are really glorious. I have not only beheld you but I have beheld you with your tree of life and river of life, and we are impressed. And the reaction is, Lord, river, flow through me. Lord, I present myself to you. I consecrate myself to you. I want to take hold of this reality. I don't want to just behold it from outside. I want to be in it. And this is a wonderful reaction. This reaction of laying hold of on his life, that is a reaction of the Spirit. He reacts.
Yeah,
the Lord might speak very clearly to you. Hey, consecrate yourself. Give yourself to the Lord. Now you have beheld him, how he is. Is it not well to belong to him? Do I not want to behold him and belong to him fully? My heart shall belong to the Lord fully. Remember your salvation. When we were saved or baptized, we had not laid hold on so many things, but we had this inner attitude, Lord, I'm at your disposition. Do whatever you want with my life. And we can do that again and again. Again, Lord, impress me. I am a bond servant serving you, beholding your face. Lord, impress me how you are, who you are. And this he also mentions in Romans 12, verse 1, this consecration we see here. And we had these verses already. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Lord Jesus, it is also an urging through the mercies, by the mercies. Present yourselves, present your bodies. A living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. This is should not frighten us. No, if somebody tips you on the shoulder and say, hey, come on, give yourself to the Lord. This is actually the Spirit using a brother. Present your body, a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of which worship. This service here, this spiritual service in the Greek version is a priestly service. We give our bodies for a priestly service. Praise the Lord. And above all, we give ourselves to the Lord, right? In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5, he talks about saints of Macedonia who had given themselves for a need for other churches. And chapter 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5, he says, and this not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. First of all, it's our consecration, our giving ourselves to the Lord. It's not for a work. It's not for people. It is to the Lord. It's a relationship of life. You behold him and you give yourself. This liberates us from all our enemies. We give ourselves. We give ourselves to this river of life. We give ourselves to come forward, to draw near. Amen. Why would we give ourselves to him? Because we know that he is the source of all serving. I think it's so precious that in Revelation 22, he mentions the throne twice. Verse 1, he says, the river of the water of life coming from the throne of God. And in verse 3, the bond servants stand at the throne. This priest stand there at the source of life. If a servant, if a priest stands at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, this is really dangerous. If this priest wants to serve something from that tree, that is really evil. But the priests here, they stand at the source. Glory to God, we drink at this source, this well of water of life. When you drink from that river and you come up towards the throne, you will ever, always end at this well, right? This source of water. There's so much, so many possibilities to put this water dirty, change it dirty. You can pour something dirty in it. There might be any addition to it. But if you drink from the throne, it is the most pure water, right? Sometimes if you go for a walk, if you drink from a river coming down the mountains, you shall take care if not a cow would have been on top of that. You never know, but there can be anything which makes it murky or cloudy, right? Drink from the clear river of water coming from the throne. This is the Spirit, right? We don't serve from power, neither from dominion, but we serve from the Spirit. It is so good to behold this life and to lay hold on this life. It is one aspect, taking from this life, from the source, from the spring of life, but it's another aspect. But we are really here in a need to lay hold. We have to come, right? I have to come to the Lord. I have to lay hold on that and take it. Laying hold on his life is a wonderful exercise of every single believer. Lord, I lay hold on you as you are. I lay hold on your life which can serve. We come to that source, we come to that spring, and we take hold of that life. We have this life which has already fulfilled this priestly service, right? In Hebrews 8, this is wonderful. Hebrews 8, verse 1. Oh, that's wonderful here, how it's mentioned. Now, the main point in what has been said is this: we have such a high priest. We have him. Where do we have him? This high priest whom we have, he lives in us. We have him in our spirit, living. Such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not men. It's so wonderful to behold this high priest, how he serves. What kind of life has he? We have received a life. Who is able to serve. In these last times in Zurich, if you're able to serve, doesn't mean you would serve. But it's a serving life. It's a durative, meaning there is a continuous attitude. His life is serving. It's not only an ability to serve, but this life is serving. Continuously, day and night. This high priest has this attitude. He can and he will serve day and night. And this view, this vision saves me from thinking of doings. You have to do this and that to be a priest. This is a matter of ability, right? If you can do it, then you are not. But having received a serving life that has some deeds in the result, this is wonderful, right? Being a priest is not a profession, young people. You don't even have a profession yet. You're still in school and you think, I haven't even finished my school and now I have to be a priest? It's not a profession. It's a life. And we have received this life. If you have received the Lord with 12 or with 20 or with 80-year-old men, with this life, we have received this high priest. It's not a high priest being somewhere else and somebody else who lives. It's the life how the Lord has lived on his earth. The life who is taking care of his church. It's exactly this life in us, serving. It brings us towards our consecration towards the Lord, right? This is a life which makes us capable. You think that serving... No, I don't say that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 3. 4 to 6. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4 through 6. Amen. Let us read that together. Amen. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Amen. We are not adequate, right, or sufficient of ourselves, for being a priest, but we have been made priests, right? That we are adequate is from God, who has made us adequate or sufficient as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. This priestly service comes out of our spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. It gives life to us. But through the ministry of this Spirit through us, it makes others also living and gives life. And coming to Galatians 2, verse 19 and 20 says, "For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I live, but it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." In Zurich, we replaced this life here, or live, with many other verbs. I pray, but no longer I who prays. I serve, but no longer I, but Christ serves in me. We can lay hold on everything the Lord has done to us, being for us. We can put in here as a replacing verb. Adequate or not adequate, forget about that. Christ lives in us, and this is a priestly service, being such a love to the Father. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, Paul speaks to somebody who has already life. Who has already received life, right? He's a brother. We all have received life already. This brother has been said, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life. We can do that again and again. Take hold. Take hold of the eternal life. You have life. You have received life. But we don't stop taking hold of it. Paul says, another verse, not that I would have held on the incompleteness. No, I do it again and again. If we do not take hold of another part, you will not be fresh. A fruit has to be wrapped, has to be taken directly, right? I was touched yesterday evening when we heard that faith is taking hold of that life. You are this high priest, Lord. I give myself to you. I take hold of you. By this, we exercise our faith. As we heard this morning, in the Word, we take hold of the reality. Lord, I take hold of you. This faith brings us to serve. We make ourselves one with the Lord. If I take hold something of him, I make myself one with him. This is so liberating, so releasing. In my preparation, I sat there in our living room. I read something. Somebody was there to lay the table. And then the Lord spoke to me, I have a serving life. And then you can decide, will I take hold of that or let I serve somebody else? And often it's a very quick decision. Sometimes you have it is time for a decision, sometimes not. If you don't, or if you're not quick with laying a table, it's done. And sometimes the Lord gives us a reaction, hey, I have a serving life. And then I have to say, yes, Lord, amen. I make myself one with you, and you stand up and you continue serving. Because the Lord has told you, I am this serving one. I have this serving life. Lord Jesus. It is wonderful to hear his voice saying, hey, I love serving. The Lord loves serving men. We experience it daily, right? Daily we experience how the Lord serves us, human beings. How the Lord served us before the conference, this is a nourishing and cherishing of the church. This is all the Lord. And he wants to gain us, right? He wants to take hold of us. Sometimes a brother comes and encourages us to serve. One of my first young people's conferences, a brother told me, we stood there in the afternoons, and you don't think a lot. And he told me, hey, go there to that brother and have fellowship with him. I just knew his name. And then I had this question, what do I do? Do I decide, I don't like it right now? I was here just relaxing in the shadow of a tree. And then you start, you walk there, and you ask the Lord, Lord, what does this brother need? I have no idea, but it's good. It's a good opportunity to take hold of the Lord. I don't even know what I told this brother. I knew, but from that on, there came up a brotherly fellowship over years because somebody else told me, hey, go there and have fellowship. Wonderful. Sometimes the Lord gives me an impression, pray for this brother or pray for this sister. We had this verse in Romans 8 where he says that the Spirit intercedes, that we know what we should pray, right? He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Praise the Lord. We can give room to that life. Hallelujah. We serve with life. We serve with what we have received from the Lord. Here, verse B3, we minister life that comes out of the fullness of Christ. It's not only please do what I tell you, but it's a fellowship of the Lord, with the Lord in life. There are different types of serving in the New Testament. There is one aspect of serving like a bond slave, a slave who is just doing what the master says, but this priestly service is out of a fullness of life, fullness of Christ. The service, the ministry we have today And what we see here in Revelation 22, it is this, yes, there is this other aspect of this other ministry, but this here in Revelation 22, it's a ministry coming out of the fellowship with the living God. It's not a dead work. Hebrews 9, verse 14, he says, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The ministry is not, the priestly ministry is not a dead work. It comes out of this spring, of this well of water of life. We just let flow over what we have received from the Spirit. In the end, I just want to share a bit about this verse in verse 4, chapter Revelation 22, verse. And we see here, they will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. Revelation 22, verse 4. Praise the Lord. His name will be on their foreheads. We behold his face, we see his face, and his name will be on his our foreheads. The Lord looks for people where he can write his name on his foreheads. To Philadelphia, he said, I will give you my name, the new one. He is looking for such people, such men. His name on his forehead, that means he has really worked on my whole being. Through his Spirit, he has transformed something. There is no more my name on my forehead, but it's his name. We belong to him fully. We fully belong to him. It is really Christ being expressed. The Lord is visible. This is a sign of the priest, that they know his life, and this life comes to an expression. Amen. Christ our life is being expressed and being revealed. That's Colossians 3. We don't have to read it right now. What he says here, when Christ, who is our life, appears or comes to an expression. It is not well explicable, but there is an expression. There's something readable, right? The Lord becomes visible in our life. The Lord has transformed us. As we read before, we have behold the Lord as in a mirror. We have been transformed, and you realize the name is on our foreheads, like engraved. Step by step, the Lord writes something. And we give ourselves step by step and tell the Lord, Lord, I want to belong to you. A lot of our consecration is covered behind the forehead, and this is our mind. Our thoughts are so many parts. Our thoughts can be taken away. One thought, shall it really be so? A wrong discussion partner, right? Like in Genesis 3, has God indeed said, our thoughts are not that strong. We think, yes, we are people that we can understand everything in our mind. We are so enlightened. No. what does 2 Corinthians say? 1 Corinthians say, our natural man cannot accept the things of the Spirit of God. The Lord wants to renew our mind. We want to read, to come to an end, Ephesians 4. Lord Jesus. This expression is not just a result in the very end. It is right now, which we can take hold of. Lord, renew my mind. Ephesians 4, verse 17. He says, so I say and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding. This is our natural being, in our fallen being, futility of our mind, being darkened, being. We don't want to be but then here in he continues having you lay aside the old self, verse 22, which is being corrupted in accordance to the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Right. If we eat of the tree of life, if we drink of the water of life, then the spirit of our mind is renewed. Praise the Lord. Then we would not no longer live in the futility of our mind, but we are renewed. And then coming back to Romans 12, verse 2 in this time, being not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect. We need transformation and renewing of our mind. Lord Jesus. Yes, our mind is really not visible. You cannot see what I think. Right? It's so don't cover your mind before the Lord, right? Let the Lord transform and renew your hidden parts of your mind. Sometimes you are so stubborn, right? I do want what I want. Oh, I just do what I want. I just hope that I would not harm anybody. Oh, come on. Let the Lord renew your mind, that we might be useful in His house. May the Lord give us such a grace that we might be, that He might be able to transform us and renew us, that we might be possible servants in His priesthood. That should be our main service, our priest.